clear and laid down. And it is very much a case of appropriate dress for the appropriate occasion. And this brings us to our gospel reading for today. But I mustn't jump the gun, because we really do need to start at the beginning. This parable that Jesus tells is one of a series which begin, "The kingdom of heaven is like." So it is clearly an illustration, a picture of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the king's invitation is to celebrate the wedding of his son and honor. And this invitation is sent to his loyal subjects, his high-ranking officials, the people in power, and so on. However, despite the fact that it was clearly an enormous honor to have been invited to such an occasion, they, one and all, refused to come. Now, the king couldn't understand this, and so he gave them a second chance, telling them that it was going to be a wonderful occasion, fine entertainment, and so on. But there was an even worse outcome, because the messengers were treated with contempt and even put to death. Now, in those days, to treat the invitation of a king, a ruler, to attend a celebration banquet, to refuse that invitation was tantamount to a declaration of war. And the king responded in that way. And he defeated those who had refused his invitation. And after they were defeated, the king sent the invitation out to all. He sent his messengers out to young and old, good and bad, upstanding and nobodies, to rogues and do-gooders, rich and poor, weak and strong, people who thought they'd been forgotten. All were invited. So I wonder what their response might have been. Perhaps for some it might have been a response of incredulity. My goodness, fancy inviting me to such an occasion. But there was a dawning realization that not only were they all invited, but that they were all welcome. Now, attending such a grand occasion would require proper dress. The wealthy would wear their richest robes and wear adornments of fine jewelry and so on. And even the poor and humble would ensure that their clothes were freshly laundered and clean and respectable, and preferably, according to custom, white, or as near white as they could manage. But you know, there was something rather different about this invitation, because everybody who was invited was offered a wedding garment by the king himself. And so this meant that all could be received at this banquet without any distinction between them. They were all offered a wedding garment. So just as we had in our parable last week where John talked to us, we have a clear picture here of who is who in this parable. The king is God himself, and the son is Jesus. And the son's bride, the celebration of that wedding, is the church, all who acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the feast is the celebration of that wedding. But as in the parable we heard last week, those hearing Jesus' words would have recognized the Jewish leaders and teachers of the time as those who rejected the invitation of the king. Now, I said that all who were invited afterwards were offered a garment. And that garment is described as the righteousness of God. Now, that seems a really perhaps a slightly mysterious term. What does righteousness of God mean? Well, there's a beautiful worship song that we sing, which helps me grasp the significance of this picture. And it goes like this. King of kings, majesty, God of heaven living in me, gentle savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, all within me falls at your throne. Your majesty, I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and heaven worship you, love eternal, faithful and true, who bought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise. Your majesty, I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes, I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. This is the garment of righteousness. It is to accept the saving work of Jesus in his death upon the cross for our sakes. Those are the royal robes which we don't deserve, but which are offered to us. Now, to go back to those at the feast, they had a choice. They were offered the robes. They had a choice to accept or reject them. So that brings me to the man in the latter part of the reading. And I'll just reread that little bit for you. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." When we hear that, it can sound really pretty tough. It doesn't sit easily with a God of love who welcomes all. But let's think about really what is involved here. This man, although offered a wedding garment, had chosen to reject it. So his attitude was one of disdain, lack of respect, unwillingness to honor the king. Perhaps he was just there for what he could get out of it, a fine meal and good company. Who knows? So on that basis, the king had every reason to throw him out. Tom Wright, in reflecting on this bit, says this: "God's kingdom is a kingdom in which love and justice and truth and mercy and holiness reign unhindered. They are the clothes you need to wear for the wedding. And if you refuse to put them on, you are saying you don't want to stay at the party. That is the reality If we don't have the courage to say so, we are deceiving ourselves and everyone who listens to us. We don't show disdain and lack of respect to our Lord and Savior and the King, his Father. So accepting the garment of righteousness and putting it on is one thing. Wearing it is another. That is an ongoing commitment, an undertaking to live a life that is worthy of the amazing gift we are given. Paul, in his writings, often uses the picture of being clothed in the garment of righteousness. And indeed, it appears in the prophets of the Old Testament too. If you want to look it up, there's a lovely passage in chapter 61 of Isaiah where it talks about the dress of salvation and robes of righteousness. But in Ephesians 4, Paul says this, "Put away as concerning your former way of life, and put on the new man, who is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." We also see this theme, this idea, vividly set out in the latter part of the reading to letter to Philippians, which we heard. I have to confess that whenever I read these words, let me read them once more, just one verse, verse 8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That sits well with the idea of dressing yourself in them, clothing yourself in them, making them part of your life. That particular verse has a lot of significance for me because it takes me back to my school days at high school, where every speech day it was the reading which was read to the assembled pupils. And it always struck me as being, first of all, quite difficult to read with meaning and sincerity, but a real, real challenge. I confess, I have a little picture of perhaps a little boy or a little girl who, I don't know if you did it when you were young. Did you go and try on your mum's and dad's clothes and look at yourself in the mirror? You know, I would put on one of my mum's sort of, you know, beautiful smart dresses and look at myself and think, "Oh, don't I look fine?" Of course, it was far too big for me. And in a way, I feel that the robe of righteousness is something which my head tells me is really too big for me. You know, it can't fit me. But it does. But what is even more important is that it is a robe that we grow into. As we live the life which is fitting for that robe, as we live God's way of life for ourselves, so we grow into it. I feel the robe is too big because God's gift to us in Jesus may seem too wonderful and vast for us to grasp. We feel unworthy, as though we don't deserve it. But in God's eyes, we are worthy of his love, because in us he sees Christ in us. So our duty is to grow into the garment he provides for us. So what does this mean for us as a church? I mean, surely it means that we should offer a like invitation. All are welcome. without regard to status, dress, wealth, background, race, whatever. And then our responsibility is to encourage all to learn the ways of God's righteousness and to grow into them. That is our responsibility. So let us pray. Transforming God, clothe us with what beautifies not the body, but the spirit. Love, gentleness, compassion, generosity, whatever brings honor to you and promotes your kingdom. Instead of merely looking or feeling the part, may we truly be different, changed from within by your renewing grace. Amen.